Let's check in with Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Joe, do you get a little homesick this time of year?
Oh, because tomorrow's Thanksgiving, yeah?
Right. There it's easy to forget it, isn't it?
Yeah, probably I'll think about it a lot tomorrow. You know, there is there'll be the Americans here always will have great gatherings on Thanksgiving. And I think if I were to think I was homesick, I can just imagine if I was back in the U.S. right now with this project incomplete. And I don't think I could properly celebrate Thanksgiving until this is finished, until this victory here. I've heard that from so many Americans who've come here to volunteer and to help, whether as soldiers or civil society volunteers in many different ways. They're always a little bit miserable when they go back to the U.S. They feel that they've abandoned the cause here, even though, you know, it's necessary to go back and restore themselves. But that is a common feeling here today in Kyiv. It's a significant day, I would say. It's snowy. There's lots of snow. The snow is continuing to fall. And this is not a small detail. I think like with any winter storm, there's both a beautiful side and a treacherous side to it. And the beautiful side here is that Ukraine is holding on. You know, all the experts were telling us, even, you know, going back into the summertime, that Russia is surely going to pound Ukrainian infrastructure all winter, as they did last year, beginning in early October. And here we are in mid-November. Winter is fully here. It's cold. There's electricity. There's heat. And the snow is falling. And this is a sign that, you know, I mean, again, at any moment, you know, as I look at the sky and see this, you know, the snowy sky, at any moment there could be a barrage of Russian missiles. But we have seen now for months Russia has been unable to launch nationwide long-range missile attacks upon Ukraine. This is a point that is keenly felt here, but that is missed in the media and missed in the West. And today, I just saw a video of this. The Ukrainian HUR, which is the intelligence service of the military, they posted a very cheeky video with a handwritten card saying the name of the agency, HUR, in Ukrainian, with an iPhone showing the Ukrainian flag, and it was on the Crimean Peninsula. You could see the famous bridge that Putin built connecting Crimea to mainland Russia several years ago. And so this video shows that Ukrainian operatives are there on the Crimean Peninsula doing work. Maybe soon we'll see the fruits of this work. But it's in that same Crimean Peninsula that Ukrainians have been able to use the long-range missiles, the Storm Shadows, and as well as drones to hit Russian targets there. And the goal is to make, as General Ben Hodges, who I like to quote, the retired American general, he says the goal is to make Crimea untenable for the Russians. And it does seem that Ukraine is doing that piece by piece, quietly, while no one is paying attention. But then, as I said, you know, with the beauty of the snow, there's also the treachery, the darker aspect. And we, you know, it seems, I think there's a feeling here that, you know, there's a window of opportunity right now, and it's being missed. And, for example, I was just re-listening to the remarks by Lloyd Austin, the Secretary of Defense of the United States. He was in Kyiv a couple of days ago. And, you know, on first glance, it sounds very positive. You know, he's here. We're here to support Ukraine for the long run. We'll continue to support. But we never hear the word victory. We don't hear anything about the defeat of Moscow in Russia. And it does seem there's a little bit of a sense, which is kind of common in Washington, of kicking the problem down the road. And the U.S. mission to NATO tweeted this week, we will continue to support Ukraine in the strongest possible position at the negotiating table when the time comes. And that, you know, that sort of concerned a lot of people here. What does that mean? You know, negotiating, what about victory and winning? And then I think they saw that there was a negative response to that tweet. And so the U.S. mission to NATO put out another tweet on X saying, let's be clear. We reaffirm our enduring commitment to Ukraine and its people. A just and durable peace means not caving to Russia's brazen attempts to redraw borders by force. We will continue to support Ukraine for as long as it takes. And I guess I think the question for Americans to ask, is that clear? Is our government being clear or not? And I think the press and the people in the U.S. do need to ask these questions of Washington, because here it does not seem that they're being very clear about what the end game here. You know, is there a victory for Ukraine? Will there be defeat of Moscow?
With the world focused now on the Israel ceasefire deal, a lot of people are missing what is going on there in Ukraine. And I know, Joseph, as concerned as you are about those events, and you know it's important, but you and the people there must get a little frustrated sometimes because it's tough there in Ukraine. But right now, it's all about Israel and Hamas.
Yeah, and this is where I think, you know, we, in my experience in Washington and New York and media and politics, tells me we are allowing ourselves to be distracted. This is what you need, unique and rare leadership, which, you know, is something that doesn't come easily. We saw this in the 1930s, where Winston Churchill was a voice in the wilderness. And even as I talk about, you know, how the skies throughout much of Ukraine, away from the front line, are peaceful, and because Ukrainians have disrupted Russian ability to attack in that way, still, there's a slow bleed. And everyone, I think, you know, who really supports Ukraine recognizes that with the slow bleed, Russia can still win. And for example, I asked a friend, I was talking with a friend who had a great pizza restaurant in Lviv. He studied under one of the best bakers in the world in San Francisco, and he learned how to make bread and pizza as good as this famous restaurant, Tartine, in San Francisco. And he was forced to close his restaurant because he was conscripted to fight. And so here's a pizza maker now having to go fight. And I asked him, I said, how are you? And he said, well, I will go somewhere to hell in a few days, but I'm doing well and everything is fine. How are you? And so, you know, there is this heaviness and that the slow bleed is happening. But still, the Ukrainians are, you know, enduring with humor. And actually, I think seeing this snow and knowing that we have heat and electricity is a great confidence. You know, there's a great spirit of not of pride and complacency, but of confidence right now. And I wanted to share with you all what I think. While I can be more blunt and negative about reporting on American politics, I wanted to share two Ukrainian voices, great Ukrainians I know, who wanted to offer Thanksgiving greetings to everyone listening. And the first is Katya. She is from the Kozak city of Zaporizhia, a city that the Russians attack very frequently. And she's currently in the wartime. She works as a bartender in Lviv. And so she is really a counselor to so many people, whether it's soldiers on leave, American volunteers with their frustrations and difficulties. Katya, really, her role in the war is really being a counselor to those people while she's tending bar. So we'll hear from her. And then we'll hear from my friend Vladimir, or Volodya. And he, since the revolution of 2014, which began 10 years ago this week in Kyiv, he's been working on the project of decentralization, of removing power from Kyiv and bringing it to localities and bringing it, you know, increasing the strength of local government, which has been a big project. That was really one of the goals of Ukraine's revolution. And Volodya has worked with the Council of Europe and the UN not only to strengthen Ukrainian democracy, but to show the world that democracy can really be rejuvenated, that human beings can have agency. So to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving, here is Katya and Volodya.
Every day is right and suitable to say thank you, but especially Thanksgiving Day. Dear Americans, United States of America, thank you that in such a hard and dark times you stand in by us. I'm grateful and thankful for the hand of endless help and support. Thank you.
On November 21st, Ukraine marks the 10th anniversary of the Euromaidan Revolution of Dignity, an unprecedented manifestation of the Ukrainian people's will, embracing democracy, self-reliance, and self-organization. Inherent values and traits that Euromaidan helped awaken. It marked a point of no return, and yet it's still an ongoing journey. Thank you for enlightening the world about the Euromaidan's role in promoting vibrant democracy across the globe. We thank the American people for your help, for support, for standing with Ukraine. Thanks, America. Happy Thanksgiving, and God bless America.
That's nice, Joseph. And hearing you talk about being thankful just for heat and electricity makes us all think about what we complain about here and our priorities. And before we let you go today, Joseph, speaking for our listeners, we're very thankful for you every morning telling us the stories that we don't get anywhere else and throwing in some history lessons along the way, making us all smarter about what's going on there. We really appreciate it.
Bob, likewise, thank you and to the entire team at WGN and all the listeners, including listeners who've traveled here to Ukraine to help, people who've donated money and people who pay attention and listen to these stories every single day. So I look forward to talking to you all on Monday. And meanwhile, happy Thanksgiving from snowy Kyiv.
Hope you have a few peaceful days. Thank you, Joseph.
Thank you, Bob.